Amen. He is worthy. You may be seated. This morning, our service has a special conclusion to it. At the end of our service this morning, we're going to be ordaining, setting apart to the ministry, Lake Slabach, our family pastor. And that's an important time as a family of believers. Lake has served among us faithfully. We have seen his gifting. We've seen God's call on his life. He has sat before a council of elders and pastors who have really grilled him on what he believes and make sure he's biblically grounded. And now, upon the recommendation of elders, at the end of our service, we're going to ordain him, which really means just to set him apart for the call of God on his life to the ministry of the gospel. Because we're doing that, when I first interviewed Lake, I think it was my very first interview, I asked Lake this question. I said, Lake, who in your life has God used to grow you, to mentor you as you grow in your ability to serve as a pastor? And I was surprised. He said, my father-in-law. Matt Fry is Ellie's father. He's a pastor in Iowa. And for this special occasion, I've asked Matt to come and open the Word of God to us this morning. So Matt, would you please come and open God's Word to us? And let me just pray for you as you bring the Word of God to us this morning. Father, I am so thankful that your kingdom is spreading around the world and around this country. I'm thankful for the way you have used Matt in Lake and Ellie's lives, but also across this country as he has served you in the ministry for so many years. And I pray now that as he opens your word to us, you would open our hearts to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. Thank you. Well, good morning, Highland Park. Good to see you. Man, it is such a privilege to be here. Thank you, Pastor Brent, for that introduction. This might get a little emotional for me. You understand? It's just such a privilege to stand here, to be here. And so pray for me, all right? We're going to open the Word of God together, but I just want to say for JoLynn and me, for my wife, she's here, and it's an opportunity to say thank you, first and foremost, for the people that lead with my kids and for those who minister to them here at Highland Park. You don't know how much that means to me, that you take care of my kids. So thank you. It's an opportunity to challenge you, Lake. And I'll talk to you, and I'll talk to Ellie, and I'll talk to the rest of us too, because God's word has a challenge for all of us, even as we think about Lake being set apart for ministry. But listen, bottom line why I'm here is because of my granddaughters, right? Like, I would walk to Michigan to be with them. So that's really why I'm here, to love on my two granddaughters. But seriously, it is such a privilege for JoLynn and me to be here. Ordination, if you're not familiar with that process, as Pastor Brent has laid that out a little bit, ordination of a man to ministry is the process of clarification. Ordination, process of clarification. And it's the clarification of a call in the life of a servant of God. And that's what we're praying God does in your life, Lake. That he would clarify and continue to clarify this process of a call in your life. And we want to talk about that. What does it look like to have a clarifying call in your life? I want you to ask that question for yourself, because God's calling us all in many ways and clarifying that in each of our lives. Ralph Waldo Emerson, you may or may not be familiar with that name. He was a 19th century intellectual poet. Some of you are like, I love Ralph Waldo Emerson. Some of you are like, I don't know who that is. But we're told this, when he would greet his friends, he would often say this to them, what has become clearer since we last met? Isn't that a good question to ask? What has become clearer since we last met? And in some ways, ordination is a milestone in that process for someone who's a minister of the gospel. What has become clear for you, Lake, is this. God has called you to gospel ministry, and this process of ordination is that, among other things. We want to look at the clarification of a call. What are the characteristics of that? What does it look like to have a clarified call in your life? We're going to do that from the book of Daniel, all right? So go ahead and turn your Bible. We're going to get into the Bible. I don't know how you Michigan people are, but those of us who know and follow Jesus in Iowa, we love the Bible. So, thank you. Good. You're with me. Daniel chapter 1, it'll be on the screen, but hopefully you brought your Bible, all right? Because there's things to mark up in Daniel chapter 1 as we look at some characteristics of a clarifying call in the life of people who know and follow Jesus. One writer says this about Daniel: the stories and the prophecies in the book of Daniel are intended to help exiles and sufferers to persevere in faith as they trust a sovereign God whose unrivaled power and everlasting dominion will overcome the wicked and vindicate the righteous. That's a banner over the book of Daniel that we could talk about as we bring it down into the life of you, Lake, and into the life of all of us as we think about this clarifying call. Daniel chapter 1, 1 to 9. Hopefully you're there. Again, it's on the screen. I think I'm going to read it. Daniel 1, 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths, without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel, he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah, he called Shadrach. Mishael, he called Meshach. And Azariah, called Abednego. But Daniel resolved in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. We're going to stop there. That's God's word to us. And it is a perfect, inspired word to us. And in it, we find some characteristics of a clarifying call. And I want us to consider those together this morning. The first one is this: calling is clarified through where God has put you. Okay? Lake, that's the first thing I want to say to you. A clarified call is in the place God has put you. And here's what I know, Lake, God, Ellie, God has put you at Highland Park Baptist Church in Michigan. That's where he's put you. And that should clarify your call. Background to this story, man, the king, and some of you are like, you know this story. It's very popular in the Bible, this story of Daniel and his three friends, but king of Babylon, we know by the hand of God, is going to concede against the Israelites because God decreed judgment on the Israelites. He's tired of disobedience, and Jehoiakim assumes the throne, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to wipe them out because God said judgment is coming. And as a result, people are taken into exile, and we get a description of them there in verses 1 through 3, but they're taken from their homeland, and they're taken to a place of exile to serve God. And man, Nebuchadnezzar is going to accomplish things for his own glory. You're in Michigan. You're not in Babylon. You're not in exile. Kinda. You do know where he's from, right? But apart from the situation, think about the principle of the fact that God clarifies our call by the place and the places that he puts us. Because that's what's at work in this story, and God does that. Think about the places in life where you've been called from and the places you've been called to. There's a lot of you seated here this morning, like, how did I end up in Michigan? And like, sometimes maybe you ask yourself that. I never saw this. How did I end up here? Life is full of places you've been called from and called to, and in all those places, God's clarifying things in your life. He's certainly going to do that in Daniel's life. I love what Paul said. I think it's on the screen, 1 Corinthians 16:9. Paul often talks about closed doors and open doors. Look what he says. You could read this all kinds of places in Paul's writings. He says, a wide door for effective work is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Paul's like, here's where I'm called to. It's clear to me a door's open. This is what God has called me to. Sometimes Paul's door was shut and I didn't go. God calls us from places and he calls us to places, and his calling is clarified in our lives by the places that he takes us. Lake, you're not an exile. But man, you've been called from places and you've been called to places, you and Ellie. I remember in our family when Ellie came and said, out of college, I want to move to Raleigh, North Carolina. And I thought, she's never going to make it there by herself. She did. We moved her down there and it was okay. Man, that was hard leaving her there. And pretty soon she met this guy named Lake down there in Raleigh, a southern boy. And they got married. And man, life was good in North Carolina. And then Davey was born. And then God continued to work in their lives. And Highland Park Baptist Church was on the horizon in Michigan. And here they come, called from North Carolina, called to Detroit, Michigan. Imagine that. I remember after Lake had been here a little while, he called me one night and he said, Matt, you won't believe this. I played pond hockey for the first time in Michigan. Guys from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, they don't play pond hockey. You know that, right? And I was like, wow, this kid that says y'all, he's playing pond hockey. Good job, Michigan. You're helping him. I live in Iowa, you know that? So some of you are like, I'll pray for you, Matt. Please do, right? I live in Iowa, and I'm a Pennsylvania guy. Proud, Western Pennsylvania. Some days I wake up and say, how did I get to Iowa? But I love Iowa. I've grown to love the people. It's the place God has put me, you understand? Like, this month I celebrate 4 years in Iowa, and God has called me away. God has called me away from the Holy Land of Western Pennsylvania to Iowa. And I got to deal with Cyclone fans and Hawkeye fans. I don't know what's going on there. But it's a place God has called me to minister. And you know what? God clarifies call when he takes us from places and to places. And man, for Daniel and for Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, God took them from their homeland into a place of exile. And for them, they thought, I could have never imagined being in this place. And for them, it was a place of adversity. And sometimes there'll be adversity here. But it's the place God has you, Lake. It's the place God has you, Ellie. And he wants you to serve him here. Because he clarifies our call in the places that he takes us from and takes us to. Best as I can tell, this quote is from Billy Graham. And if it's not, we'll give him to him. Because he's Billy Graham, right? So he could have said this. But you've seen this before. The will of God will never take us where his grace cannot sustain us. And so there's going to be easy times in Michigan. There already have been. There's going to be hard times in Michigan in ministry. There's going to be times you miss the places you came from. This is where God has called you. Called you from places, called you to places, just like he did then. That's how he clarifies a call. Late God clarifies our call through where he puts us in this place. I love what Jeremiah 29:7 says, seek the welfare of the city. Seek the welfare of Highland Park Baptist Church. God has called you to that. God's calling is clarified. It's clarified through the places that he puts us. His calling is clarified through the gifts that he gives us. Like, the call of God is clarified through the gifts he has given you. And those gifts are manifold to the glory of God in your life. Ellie, you too. Through the gifts he's given you. They are many. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me, if you will. It's a description there of Daniel specifically and the gifts that God had given him. Now, Lake, don't get carried away because here were his gifts. He was intelligent and physically attractive. All right? He also came from a royal elite and noble family. And Ellie, you know that's not your people, right? But those were the gifts that he had. Daniel, wouldn't you love to know the backstory about Daniel? We don't get that backstory. You notice that? It's just Nebuchadnezzar sweeps in, and man, this is a horrible situation, taken into exile. I mean, again, we're talking about principles here, not the situation. But man, the Babylonian army sweeps in, and they gather up these boys, and they take them, these young men who are sharp, who come from noble families. I'd love to know the backstory of this young man, Daniel. But he had gifts. He had gifts to offer, so much so that the king of Babylon said, those are the kind of people I want. Nebuchadnezzar says, I want to bring those gifts in, and I want to hone them, and I want to make them into something that I want them to be in Babylon. I'd love to know the backstory of those young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were intelligent and physically attractive. God had given them things naturally, and God had given them gifts of leadership and history and all the rest. What gifts has God given you? I've never met most of you, but if I were to sit with you, if you were to say, here's the things I know God has gifted me with, what would those things be? We're different, aren't we? And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we come to God and think, I don't have any gifts. We do. The Word of God compares us to the physical body, doesn't it? There in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it works together well, man, it works together because we all bring unique things into the body of Christ. And those are the places where God clarifies the call. Highland Park Baptist Church, Lake, it can't function without you because you have gifts that you're bringing here that God is using to clarify His call in your life. Ellie, you too. Keep singing, Ellie Fry. And you, friends, you come to this church and you have gifts to offer. Don't come and sit. What are those gifts that God wants to use to clarify His call in your life? What are those gifts? Daniel, he has no idea where, but he knows that he would use his gifts. And maybe that's where you are today. You have no idea where. Like, you don't know what God is going to call you to in this church to use the gifts He's given you. But you know this, He's called you to do it. And some of you here, it's like, hey, I know God has given me gifts, and I'm not sure exactly where He's going to use them, but I know that He will. So go. I like to think about it like this. Go with your gifts. Friends at Highland Park Baptist Church, go with your gifts. Daniel had no idea where he would go, but he knew that he would. So the same is true for us. Go with your gifts. I love what 2 Timothy 1 says. I don't think I have this on the screen, but for this reason, Paul writes to us. He's writing to young Timothy, and he says, for this reason, I do have it up there. Good. I remind you, don't you like this phrase? I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What a picture of ordination that is, isn't it? Fan into flames. Like a couple weeks ago when we grilled you at that ordination council, we made sure you understood the Trinity right and your eschatology was on point and you helped us answer some questions we weren't even sure about sometimes. What we did there was said to you, young man, in this laying on of hands that's coming, fan into flames the gift that God has given you. Because in that, in those gifts, He wants to clarify the call of God in your life. He wants to use you because He's given you those gifts to invest for the kingdom, both of you. Calling is clarified through the gifts that God has given you. Fan into flame those gifts. One writer says that means take the gift that God has given you and set it on fire in a good way. Set it on fire in a good way, Lake. Two implications from that. I think it means you have to stoke the fires in your own life and you have to start some fires in the lives of others. So Lake and Ellie, as you minister, as a pastor and a wife, and the call of God is clarified and the gifts He's given you, stoke the flames of the gifts in your own life. Get better. Get smarter. I don't know if you can get better looking or not like Daniel was, but get better. Get smarter. Press into resources. Learn from people. Find mentors. Look at people in this church and say, there's something about the way you parent, or there's something about the way you lead your business, and I want to know more. How did God teach you that? Stoke those fires in your life. Sometimes, though, and friends, listen to me, those of you who serve with this young pastor, sometimes he doesn't need to stoke the fires in his own life. He needs to start some fires in your lives. So when he comes to you and says, hey, I need your help, or you know what I see in you? I see a gift to do this. Don't tell him, yeah, I don't have time for that. Tell him, all right, I'm on board. Help him. Help him. He needs to stoke some fires in his own life. Saints, encourage him in that, in his family. But sometimes he's going to come to you and he's going to say, I want to set a fire in your life. I want to fan the flames of the gifts God has given to you. Let him start those fires in your life. Like, sometimes you need to lead and sometimes you need to let go of ministry. And it's important to remember which is which. But it starts with the gifts that God has given you to lead. And man, he has given you those gifts. I love what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2, with what you have heard from me, entrust it to faithful men that they can teach others also. Isn't that great? One writer says, you know what's kind of represented there is four generations. Paul says, what you've heard from me, Timothy, take it and give it to someone else so that they can give it to someone else. Parents, don't you want that in your family? Don't you want the generations four down from now? You're an old man, you're an old lady, you can look four generations down and say, what I had, I gave to my kids, and they gave it to their kids, and they gave it to their kids. Man, by the grace of God, that's the legacy I want in my family. Don't you? God, take the gifts I have, clarify the call in my life, and help me to fan that into flames, stoke some fires in my life, and then set fires in the lives of others. Beginning with those girls into this church. That's how God clarifies a call, through the gifts he's given you. I got to hurry, but I'm doing good. Late, God will clarify the call through the gifts he's given you. So fan into flames the gift of God in your life and in the lives of this people you serve at Highland Park. Three, calling is clarified through the relationships influencing you. That's right. It's clarified through the relationships that influence you. Back to the text, part of Babylon's reorientation program was this renaming of these three boys. Their Hebrew names are taken, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel, into Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? These three boys are together, and if you know anything about the book of Daniel, it's all for one and one for all. And Nebuchadnezzar wants allegiance of these youth. He wants it to be thoroughly transferred. This commentary on Daniel 1, he wants them to sense the privileged opportunity that was before them. So he says, royal food for you and wine. Man, four boys in a strange country, it's like, bring it on. No more mom and dad to tell me what I can't eat. 3-year program, special treatment. Would have been easy just to blend in with the rest. One writer says, would the pressure of the new place and the indoctrination program be successful? Well, would it? It wasn't. Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, they remained faithful. And I think to a large degree it's because they had the influence of each other helping them. Don't you? Because nothing clarifies the call of God like when we get around people of the same faith and they encourage us and we encourage them, right? That's what the body of Christ is all about. We need each other. Like, you need these people. You need the elders in this church. You need Pastor Brent. You need young couples. You need old couples. You need the people of this church to influence you because that's what helps clarify the call in your life. Friends in this church, you need each other. You can't come here and be by yourself. The way God's going to clarify a call, the way he clarified the call for Daniel was this, like, I don't know if we should be eating that stuff. And his three friends are like, you're right. What if his three friends hadn't been there? What would he have been like? You think he could have stood alone? Like the old song, Dare to Be a Daniel. I'm old enough to remember. I could sing it right now, right? You know that song. Well, Dare to Be a Daniel, but he had his three friends with him. And their influence clarified his call. Say, I can't do this alone. We can do it together. I don't think that's an exaggeration in the story. I think these boys needed each other. And man, the influence of others is where God clarifies our call. It's where he clarifies our call. Quickly, Lake, people, you need people to influence you where you serve. Proverbs 27:10, better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Home is Michigan. Ellie, you know this. We've been a lot of places in ministry, haven't we? Pennsylvania and Indiana and Ohio, and now I'm in Iowa. But guess what? Guess where my people are for ministry? They're in Iowa now. My spiritual family's in Iowa. I can't believe I'm trusting the Iowans to help me. But I am, because my family's far away now. And I've been in ministry in places where it's like, you know what? I have a neighbor nearby and my brother's far away. My kin, my blood relatives have always been far away. And my family, my spiritual family, that's the language we use in our church in Iowa, spiritual family. My spiritual family's in Iowa. And Lake, these are your people. You're his people. You got to help this kid. You're his people. Because together, God clarifies the call that way. People influence you where you serve. People influence what you see, which is the grace of God. I don't have time to go into that. I'm going to skip Acts 11 there. Lake, God clarifies your call through the relationships that influence you. So learn to love and be loved by your neighbors nearby in Highland Park. The privilege and the pressure of ministry, serve together and see the grace of God. Last thing is this, God clarifies our call through grace-driven effort that is at work in us. God clarifies our call through grace-driven effort that is at work in us. Quickly, two things in these verses. Look at verse 8 and verse 9 with me. First three words of verse 8 is what? But Daniel resolved. See that? Daniel resolved. That word means he made up his mind. He was determined. It was placed on his heart. He purposed on his heart, in his heart. Daniel said, with the help of his influencing friends, he said, we're not doing what Nebuchadnezzar wants. We're doing what God wants. But notice what verse 9 says. First five words, and God gave Daniel favor. See that? So it's like, well, which is it? Did Daniel purpose in his heart to obey God, or did God give him favor? And the answer is yes. Thank you. Yes, you got it. The answer is yes. The answer is, listen, folded into the sovereignty of God in Daniel's life was Daniel's resolve. And one writer calls that, one New Testament scholar calls that grace-driven effort. So, Lake, it's not your effort, but it is your effort folded into the work of God that he wants to do in your life, you and Ellie. And it starts with God saying, I've called you, young man. I've called you to lead. I want to clarify that call in your life. And the way that call is clarified is through the fact that I want to bless your life, but I want to see resolve in you. Daniel, the power of his three friends and influence, he resolved. He purposed in his heart. And man, God met him in that. Put your confidence in God's grace. The Word of God says, make every effort in 2 Peter. Make every effort. 1 Corinthians 15:10, look at this verse. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So which is it, the grace of God or my effort? And again, the answer is yes. It begins with the grace of God. But Paul says, I worked hard in that grace. That's Daniel, man. He says, I purposed in my heart. God said, I'm going to meet you in that. The clarification of your call, Lake, will be the grace of God meeting you and the effort you put forward to serve him. You too, Ellie. Don't forget that. The beauty of gospel ministry is that it's clarified first and foremost in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his grace starts there, friends, in knowing Jesus. So, Lake and Ellie, God clarifies your call through grace-driven effort. Your resolve to serve God faithfully is folded into his plan for your future. Be a resolved man and see what God will grant you. Ordination is clarification. May God continue to clarify your call in this place. Using your gifts with the people surrounding you at Highland Park Baptist Church by his grace and for his glory. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the church of Jesus Christ, which you have established. And we thank you that you give us leaders to guide us, shepherds. And Lord, I thank you for the work of Highland Park Baptist Church in this community, in this city, and in the world. And more specifically and personally, I'm a thankful man because of the work in the lives of my kids. So I thank you for these people who love my kids. And I pray for them. I pray for Lake as hands are laid upon him and he is set apart for the work you've called him to. That God, that call will continue to be clarified in his life and in the lives of this congregation. Lord, by your grace and for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.